Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Henry gets to the outside for the touchdown. That felt more like Ravens football.
It sure did.
Derrick Henry, 111 career rushing touchdowns. He just passed Sweetness, Walter Payton. Second down and long, faked the handoff from his own end zone. Williams has time. Downfield, intercepted! Wiggins steps in front, and the Ravens come up with the big play defensively. Henry in the backfield. Handed to him. Henry bounces off, gets to the outside. Henry! He's got the angle! Touchdown, Ravens!
Very proud of our guys. Very excited for the outcome. Also, very impressed with the process. Sometimes the outcome you can't always control.
So you heard the highlights, courtesy of CBS. Ian Eagle on the call. Derrick Henry, a couple touchdowns. Nate Wiggins with a huge interception deep in the Bears' end. And just like we called it over the weekend, Tyler Huntley would temporarily save the season.
Yeah.
The Ravens beat the Bears 30-16 with Tyler Huntley at quarterback. Oh, and the Orioles have themselves a new manager, and it's not Tony Manziello. So.
And it's not Scott Service, and it's not Pujols, and it's not Rojas.
And it's not Bob Melvin.
And it's not Ryan Flaherty.
No. And for what it's worth, people in the industry seem to like the hire. So after what seems like weeks of bad, we actually have a day. And the sun is out, Jason. The sun is shining.
It got a lot warmer today, too. We had that little chill through the weekend.
So we got good going on, and the Ravens play again on Thursday.
A lot going on all of a sudden. Yeah. When we last left here Friday, if we would have said, Lamar's not going to play, they're going to win by 14 anyway, and somebody named Albernaz, what's his first name?
Craig.
Craig Albernaz is going to be the new manager. And that's how we're going to start the show on Monday.
Yes.
I think we all would have been dumbfounded.
By the way, Bone gave me a great stat in the press box yesterday. Tell Jason... How many times the Ravens have scored 30 points in a game during the Lamar Jackson era when somebody other than Lamar plays quarterback?
Yeah, they're 4-12 heading into yesterday, one time. Yeah. And that was the Packers game where Huntley was arguably his best game.
Counterpunch,
his career, going back and forth with MVP Aaron Rodgers. But in those 16 games, the Ravens offense averages 15.3 points per game.
Put up a 30 burger.
Yeah. This league is nothing if not unpredictable. And it's crazy because while all that's going on, the Browns are still running a youngster out there who's got no business starting an NFL football game right now.
And Myles Garrett gets five sacks.
Myles Garrett gets five sacks, but Dylan Gabriel's taking intentional grounding safeties in the end zone, and they're getting emasculated in the second half by the Patriots. Joe Flacco scores 38, and it ain't enough for the Bengals. And then by the time the Ravens players get home – and turn on the TV, they watch a second half meltdown by the Steelers.
Not good for them.
So everything turns up better than anyone could have expected or forecast for the Ravens. Now they obviously have to take advantage again at just a couple days from now. But if you're going to have to play two games in 5 days, and you might as well do it coming off a bye,
yeah,
you got all that time to rest. So the opportunity is there. Can they take advantage of it? Yesterday, look, it wasn't necessarily a Mona Lisa, but it was gritty.
Mm-hmm.
It was tough. They won in the trenches, which hadn't been going on. They obviously overcame adversity, which hadn't been going on, from Lamar being out to Ronnie Stanley having to go out for a while. How about the Bears' first couple drives, just pretty much doing whatever they wanted.
It looked like the defense pre-bye.
It looked like, oh my God, the middle of the field's open for business, like even worse than before. It looked like Roma Dunzier might have the kind of day that Gigi forecast for Puka Nacua.
Yes.
It's like, if they throw it to him 25 times, he might catch 22.
He was right? Cooking Wiggins early.
That's what it looked like. And then it's like, well, wait till the quarterback starts running on top of all this. And the defense shuts him down. And the offense plays enough ball control on a day where the offense was not robust running the football. They were good enough to keep having the opportunity to run the football, which is really all they needed. They got 35 carries or whatever. Like, they got there. It didn't matter that Henry didn't go off. And they finished red zone drives on the ground, which they haven't been able to do. And they did it without Lamar. That's a lot of positives.
Yes. I also think that game boiled down to, you had the Bears coming in on a 4-game winning streak, and they had forced 15
all the
turnovers in those four games. They had the best turnover differential in the NFL heading into that one. We know the Ravens, they had the second worst turnover differential. And the Ravens won the turnover battle, and that Nate Wiggins interception was one of, if not the biggest play of the football game.
By the way, the decision that Harbs made to not go for it on fourth and five, and he talked about it after the game, we'll get to that, to take the delay, trying to draw him off, take the delay, and then Stout with a
punt
great
punt.
Great. By the way, low-key, and we talked while you were out last week, Bone, who we'd say is playing good football? The punter and the kicker, two of those guys.
Absolutely. So
Stout has a great punt, and then they force the pick.
Yes.
That's a huge turning point in that football
game.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, as much as all this other stuff, and look, finishing drives with Derrick Henry, getting Derrick Henry his carries, Snoop, yeah, look, he got away with one or two he brought back, but those balls hitting the ground and not being picked off. Snoop was an excellent game manager. Played far above and beyond, I think, what anybody who's watched him lately could have reasonably expected. He outplayed Caleb Williams for me. Like, that's vital. But take all that aside. If they don't pin him deep there, if Wiggins doesn't turn him over there, I'm still not sure they win that game.
By the way, the defense, and I say this as a compliment, I think they were average, but they've been so bad all year, average was good enough. And after the first quarter, which you alluded to, Jason, where they essentially got dominated like they've been all year, they bent but didn't break.
Exactly.
And after that, they did a decent job. They made a couple of adjustments, and they made some stops.
They were fine.
The Bears ran 22 plays in the first quarter.
22
in
disgusting.
The first quarter.
I thought they were going to get blown out.
Yeah, me too.
They had the ball for almost 13 minutes.
I want to go back to Tyler Huntley. We've seen him play a bunch. He has started a number of football games in this league, whether for the Ravens or the Dolphins. That's the best I've ever seen Tyler Huntley play. That was the best.
Shockingly good.
The decision-making run, except for maybe he runs into his own guy, gets up, and like if that's any other player, and they have all these nebulous rules about quarterbacks giving themselves up, if that's any other player, that's a fumble and it's Bears ball. Like he handed the ball, but you know the quarterback's allowed to give himself up, so it's a dead ball. But he was fantastic.
It was
yesterday.
The best passer rating of his career. And I thought something that we've all been skeptical about with Tyler Huntley over his career, he was pushing the ball downfield, too.
Yeah.
How about the throw to Bateman to open up the second half?
Yes.
That was a big-time moment. He was decisive. He was throwing with anticipation.
It'll come in my six-pack, spoiler alert, but I thought Monk called a great game yesterday. Oh, yeah. And then the addition of Keaton Mitchell late, like you pound with Henry, pound, pound, pound. They might be a little tired. Now you got a guy who can hit the edge.
Look, it was the collective gutsy outing, coaches, players, that they needed. It was nothing short of season saving, especially given the way the pendulum started swinging in the first quarter. Good on them for bowing up and bucking up and fighting to keep themselves relevant. And again, all the other results came in pretty much better than you could have scripted. Even the way the Bengals lost, boy. And I mean, and now Hendrickson's out again. Like, it just like a lot of things fell into place.
And Jay, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I know the Bengals don't like to buy, but maybe with this loss, maybe they start thinking about selling a little bit. When you lose a game to the Jets you're not supposed to lose. Now,
I doubt it. 3-5, they're still in the mix. I'd be shocked if they traded anything of substance away. And I don't think they're going to add much either. I mean, no. they think if we tread water, Joe Burrow is going to come in and make us a if we can score 38 with Flacco, what do we score with Burrow? And the O's have a skipper. And like, hey, good on them. I'm glad it's not Manzolino. I knew it wasn't going to be anybody more experienced than the GM. I knew it wasn't going to be anybody with a pedigree. I knew it wasn't going to be anybody with ties to Buck Showalter or ties to that era, which frankly was more successful than this era has been. So this if you're going to tell me it's not Manzolino, create a profile for who it is. It would be a 42-year-old who's done a lot in the minors but never managed in the majors, who's been with a small market team that's overachieved at least to some degree, who was probably a former catcher like Hyde, makes sense, like a lot of great managers become. And it's going to be somebody off the radar.
And by the way, you say he doesn't have a major league managing pedigree, but it seems like whether it was with the Giants or now with the Cleveland Guardians, and Stephen Vogt raves about this guy. So, like, he has – I was talking to somebody this morning who said he's very much – he compared him to Flaherty in that he's old school and analytics combined, but he doesn't have the connection to Buck Showalter that Brian Flaherty has.
Hey, hopefully he's empowered enough to.
We'll see what the coaching staff
do what
looks
he
like.
Can do. Yeah, oh, it's gonna. They'll be changed. I'd be stunned.
Yeah.
If there's not sweeping changes.
Manzo here.
I think Rock already said that Manzo is not.
Okay. No, Manzo's not going to be here.
That's news to Belway Ben. Good news.
Any of them. I
think Rock reported that.
Maybe a pitching analyst or maybe one of the – I don't think many people are going to be around.
Huge show, and actually it's a good news Monday. We'll be talking all about it. Guest-wise, it's our usual Monday guest. We'll talk to our friend, IA Hall of Famer Jonas Schaefer, covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner at 4, and Cordell Woodland just got off the air, but he'll join us with his thoughts on Ravens and maybe some Orioles at 5.
A lot to get to.
Coming up next, though, we haven't had the opportunity yet to discuss what was a bizarre situation with the Baltimore Ravens and their injury report. Some necessary roughness about their anyway, it's Lamar Jackson. Is he full? Is he limited? Is he going to play? Is he not? It's necessary roughness next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on the Fan. So this situation wasn't our bingo card. On Friday, the Ravens announced that Lamar practiced in full. Jason and I were under the assumption he was going to play on Sunday. Then Saturday morning, first there's the Ian Rappaport report that he just worked with the scout team. The spread went immediately from 6.5 to 3.5. Then about an hour later, the Ravens announced that they've changed his status retroactively from full to limited, and he's out on Sunday. And then the spread moved again. Weird. After the game yesterday, here's Harbs trying to explain it.
Well, the status was pretty much the status all the way through. We were hoping we weren't going to rule him out before we had to. I think at the end of the day, it just the conversations that were had, you know, they just didn't feel like the two games in the 5 days would be the thing to do, you know. So that comes back to us. And when you hear that as a coach, that's what you do. So with him not practicing, with the first offense throughout the week, it's just getting Tyler ready to go, and we're going to go play football with Tyler. And if Lamar would have come back, I mean, you know, if it could have happened, as a coach, I'd have put him in there. And Tyler, you'd have understood that, right? That would have went the way it would have gone. But he didn't get to the point where I think they felt comfortable with that part of it. The other part of it, I'm not involved in those rules. I don't know those particular rules. So that's that was probably, I think, in their defense, you know, he practiced a full practice. I think they felt like because he did the same number of reps, it was a full practice. But when you dig in and you read the rule, at the end of the day, it wasn't right. So that's what it was. That's why as soon as we found out, we changed it.
You said they. Who's they? Who makes that?
Yeah, that's in the training room and the PR and the other side. It's not in the football side. The medical side.
John, do you expect
them? But it's an honest mistake. I mean, it really is an honest mistake. I can tell you this. Nobody's trying to hide anything. I mean, there's no advantage.
No.
There's no advantage to be gained with that. I mean, it was he practiced. His status was what it was. He was questionable. I do think if we'd have had the old status, maybe they would have said doubtful.
Still could do that.
Maybe. I don't know. But questionable or out. You know, we weren't going to say out.
Until you got around to doing it.
Until Saturday when that conversation was had on the medical side.
So what he meant was you can't do probable anymore. It's just questionable and out. You could still – questionable, doubtful, and out. You could still say doubtful.
You could have listed him as doubtful.
Yes, you could have. He got that a little backwards. So that was a lot. And you also have, which I think is a huge part of this, Jason, the landscape in the world of gambling with what's going on in the NBA. And this line was whether they intentionally did it or not. The line got manipulated all over the place over those 24 hours, which when the league is in bed with the gambling companies.
Oh, yeah.
That's a bad look. That's a horrible. The optics are horrible.
And look, Harv's been coaching in this league damn close to 20 years. Don't tell me you got nothing to do with injury reports and you got nothing to do with designations and you don't know how the rules work. Look, he knew Lamar Jackson wasn't taking reps with the regular offense in a week where, especially come Friday, nobody's really doing anything. And he wasn't even doing stuff with the big boys. He's doing it with the scout team.
Yeah.
And to call that a full practice is doesn't matter what I think. I think it's beyond disingenuous. We'll see what the league thinks of it because the league is going to do something.
I think they're
going to
hit hard.
They're going to do something. How significant? I don't know. Slap on the wrist, it usually is. But the bottom line is this is so much more trouble than it's worth. It's such a bad look. Why is it always OTA? Why are we always skirting with stuff like this? It's so on brand for them, yet they act like they're above the fray.
And him saying at the end of that quote, well, there's no real advantage in doing it.
It all the time.
Like, why when you play a team on the West Coast, for example, a couple weeks ago, the Rams, you put out your injury report 3 hours later.
Yeah.
Why do you do that? Like, why during a press conference do you give the rebuttal? Well, wait for the injury report to come out.
Yeah.
Because you see it as an inherent advantage.
If they have to take an hour to do something different, it's an hour they didn't do for this.
Exactly. If the shoe was
on the
other
foot. If it throws them off even a little bit, how could that be a bad thing?
Yes.
So I'm thinking at least big fine here. Because of the optics.
What's a big fine for teams that are, I mean, if the franchise is worth $7 billion,
I get it, but for the lay person, it'll look like a big fine. But you're right, it's all relative.
Maybe it's a draft pick. Who knows?
Yeah, I think because of the NBA situation, it changes the whole landscape of this whole thing.
And again, it's just an unforced error. It's just so much more trouble than it's worth to create this whole faux cloak and dagger aura of mystery. If he's with the scout team, he's not really practicing. Yeah. So just say you didn't practice.
Yeah.
I mean,
And if Rappaport didn't have the report Saturday morning. No one ever.
And by the way, just a quick thing. Rappaport didn't get that from Lamar's agent because Lamar doesn't have an agent. So he had to get it from somebody in the Ravens building. Alas. Coming up next.
Are we 1,000% convinced that Lamar's playing in this game?
I think he's playing. I think he's playing.
1,000%? I don't know if
I'm full-blown committed.
Are you full-blown
guaranteeing he plays in this game?
I think he's playing.
I feel pretty confident.
Plus,
that
it's
he's
in
playing.
South Florida in front of his friends and family. Yeah. I think he's playing.
1,000%. I don't know if I'll go that far, but okay. I am pretty confident that he is playing.
Coming up next, Ravens win 30-16. It's six-pack time, six-pack of defensive observations, and we'll give them to you next here on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Six-pack time. Six-pack sponsored by the Good Feet Store. Come in and try the Good Feet feeling today. Comfort, energy, performance, and pain relief at the Good Feet Store. Go to goodfeet.com for more details. Before we get started, I just want to thank Beltway Ben Hall for filling into these very big shoes last week, both on six-packs and on bounce-back, fall-back. Beltway Ben, hell of a job. Big shoes to fill, but you did
like
a great
job. I'm like
a proud
papa over here, Beltway Ben.
Great job. Yeah, you want to say something?
I don't know if he's listening.
I greatly appreciate it.
Yeah. It's a six-pack of defensive observations. Yes, and let's get started.
Number six.
Six, I'll start negative, but it ties into something later. But Roma Dunze was destroying Nate Wiggins early. And as Jason alluded to in the open, he was on his way to having a day like I thought Puka Nacua was going to have with the Rams. Adunze finished with 7 catches for 114 yards. A lot of that was in the first quarter. It was not pretty.
Yeah, I'll get to that much higher because it's part of a trend to the game that I think was maybe the entire game. Six was, with one exception, they negated Caleb Williams' legs. This was not going to be a game that was just about blitz, 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 attack the young quarterback. We don't have any pass rushers, so let's send 7. You have to have that, the idea of the must rush and keeping him contained. And I thought his legs, especially on a day where they're trying 3 different running backs, mm-hmm. and they seemed unsure if DeAndre Swift could really handle the role or not, given all his groin injuries, I thought we were going to see more of it. And there were times where I think that young man wanted to take off and go. I thought they did a hell of a job of fencing him in, hemming him in, and they were stout against the run overall. Maybe that should have been higher, but I slotted it at 6.
Number 5.
And maybe this should be higher, but I got to see it more than 1 week to believe it, but it needs to be noted. The guys we talked about a lot last week in terms of needing to step up on defense specifically, Roquan, Hamilton, and Marlon all did. in varying degrees. Roquan did bring in energy. Roquan was clearly up for that fight. The fact it was his former team brought out the best in him. Hamilton was a part of some significant moments in that game, making himself felt at the line of scrimmage, stepping up in the goal line for tackles, being a part of some blitz packages that got home, forced intentional groundings, and Marlon, I mean, Marlon was probably their best corner because Wiggins, it was real high or real low. So just want to note that those guys who were sort of the face of that defense now got the job done.
Can they stack it? That's the question.
I don't know. That's why it's a five.
Yeah. My five, shout out Mike Green, first NFL sack, and it came in a huge part of the game as the Bears were getting down, going up and down the field at will and caused a field goal instead of the Bears getting a touchdown.
Number four.
Which leads into the bend but don't break defense in the first quarter, because I don't know about you guys, but the Ravens defense in the first quarter looked a hell of a lot like the Ravens defense before the bye, where the Bears were basically doing whatever they wanted moving up and down the field. That first quarter felt like it lasted 5 minutes because the clock kept moving and the Bears, the ball never hit the ground, and they were just going up and down the field. But both times the Bears got the ball in the red zone, the Ravens made them settle for field goals, and they never scored again until the fourth quarter.
Four is where I put pivotal pass rush at key moments in the game. Was it elite? Was it nonstop? No, I mean, they had a 26.8% pressure rate. It's pretty much was what it was. But you had Green, Van Noy, and Hamilton all show up at critical moments, drawing penalties, forcing intentional groundings. It was a bit of the Mike Green coming out show. At least he flashed. We're ready for him to flash. He flashed. Is he going to take games over? No. Is he going to play more snaps than you need him to, for than he should at this point in time? Because that's what you need. Yeah. But there were key moments where they got off the field via the pass rush, and we had not seen that in quite some time.
I'll go with Jason, and one of those key moments was Kyle Hamilton coming on a blitz, forcing intentional grounding. Yeah. And it gets back to the comment that we've been talking about for a while, why they waited so long to bring in a third safety, because yesterday's game, Kyle Hamilton aligned in the box, his most amount of defensive snaps, highest rate since week 8, 2022.
Yeah.
That was his rookie year, 8 games into his career. Clearly, they want to lean into that. They blitzed him 10 times in that game. He recorded 2 run stops. That's where he's at his best.
We are doing the 6-pack of defensive observations. And Beltway Ben, let's continue.
Number 3.
It was a bend, don't break defense, but it didn't break. Red zone stops, goal line stops, been in short supply. We've seen them get bullied at the same time. They haven't been able to bully anybody else in short yardage, and we'll get to that at the end of the show. That'll feature prominently in my offensive six-pack, because they were on the right side of this all the way around. But if you're going to allow teams to have 14-play, 8-minute drives, and you can hold them to 3, you could still call that a win. And they were able to do that early in the game. They got their sea legs under them. They made some adjustments, which we'll get to. And those stops were critical from keeping this game from getting out of hand.
3 was one of yours, sort of one of yours earlier. They only got 1 sack, but they also got 2 intentional grounding penalties, which were essentially sacks. They got after Caleb Williams. They made him feel uncomfortable. By the way, the pass rush on that play near the end of the game where he just heaves it and DJ Moore makes that incredible catch. But they were after him essentially the whole game. Kudos to Zach Gore getting more aggressive. I was sick and tired of watching them fake blitz and drop and then the death by 10,000 paper cuts. You had to get more aggressive. They did. It was good to see.
Number 2.
2 is the Wiggins pick. Yep. And it goes to the decision making. They decide not to go for it on 4th and 5. They try to draw them off. Then they punt. Credit to Stout. Great punt. I think it was Tylan Wallace that fielded it like at the 4 or 5. And then they get the pick from Caleb Williams, and Nate Wiggins kind of jumped. He ran the route for the receiver and jumped it. Nate Wiggins, after an atrocious first quarter, I thought he played his rear end off after that. Like, that was a hell of a pick, and it changed the game.
Yeah, we're simpatico. We've been waiting for people to have moments back there in the secondary. It's where all their assets are. It's got to be It's got to carry its weight in terms of playmaking and game-changing ability. And on a day where, much like the defense, and we'll get to this at one, Nate Wiggins couldn't have started the day much worse. That I'm not sure they win the game without that interception, given field position, everything it provided.
Number one
is I have to applaud their resiliency as a coaching staff and as a collective. This looked like it was going to be a repeat of the Detroit game. All of their worst attributes were on display constantly in the first quarter. You want to get under center and run it up the gut? Have at it. You want to throw on crossers across the middle? Great. You want to just play pitch and catch with your number one wide receiver because we got nobody who can stop him? Go ahead. A tight end who's done nothing in his career to this point gets more yards in the first quarter than he's had in a game all year? Check. And they responded to all that, right? Loveland faded. The quarterback faded as he got put under pressure. And at the end of the day, they did try to bully him. 16 under center runs. Only went for a total of 61 yards. 3.8 per carry. You will take that anytime you can get it. They showed the ability to handle adversity and get better from it. And it's been sorely lacking as an attribute this season. So to me, that was as important as anything else.
Yeah, my one is the defense was decent, but decent is so much better than what it's been all year. If you can be average defensively, I think you got to take that. And also, the name guys, and you alluded to this earlier, Jason, Roquan, Kyle Van Noy, Kyle Hamilton, they showed up. David Ajabo even made a play on a running play, which I didn't think was conceivably possible. So, like, guys showed up yesterday. I'll take decent.
Way to take down the ginger gorilla. Yeah,
I think resiliency is a great word for it. And I think the lead up to it, where you get the reports from the Sun, reports from the Banner, you have the injury report debacle going, like so many distractions heading into this game. And that opening drive that Chicago had, it looked like it was going to be exactly what Houston and CJ Stroud
first two
did
drives
came in, just go right down the field any way they wanted. But they bent.
And I think we got to give Zach Orr a lot of credit.
Oh, yes, a ton of credit.
Absolutely.
Because it looked like they might roll over and we'd be talking about, hey, is Orr going to get whacked after the Miami game? Like, it looked like it might have been that kind of afternoon.
Well, and it was on both of your guys' six packs, and that was something that Orr was talking about in the lead up to the game last week. How, hey, we took the bye week, we're scheming up pressure, we're coming up with simulated pressures, and it paid off. Yeah.
By the way, let's just point out that the Bears' first drive was 8 minutes and 10 seconds. Yeah. The Ravens get the ball, they go 3 and out, and then the Bears have another 4-plus-minute drive, which leads to another field
goal.
That's
the first 20,
yes.
22 plays, 125 yards. They took up 12 minutes, 41 seconds in the first quarter.
Coming up next, we got to give Tyler Huntley his flowers. Not Zay flowers, though Zay had a nice game. Snoop shows up, and in a big way, we'll discuss next here on The Fan.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's great and the way that Tyler played, you know, and I think gives us a lot of confidence. But we already had a lot of confidence, you know, when we brought him back. I mean, he and I had a phone conversation during training camp, you know, at some point, and maybe it was after training camp. I don't remember exactly when it was. Was it training camp? During training camp, and he was actually working out, and we talked about the possibility of this happening, and we talked about, you know, what if it does come to fruition, you're gonna win football games. You could win a football game for us, right? And here we are. You know, it's one of those things that you just really couldn't ever predict. But it's the way things work sometimes.
That was Harbs after the game. Tyler Huntley, 17 of 22, 185 yards and a touchdown. He also rushed for 53 yards. Passer rating of 115.9. We mentioned it earlier. Is that 116.9? My old eyes. This is the best I've ever seen Tyler Huntley. And Tyler Huntley, at least for 1 week, the Ravens are off the mat a little bit as he leads them to a 30-16 win.
I wonder if we just missed this somewhere, but it happened. Maybe it happened on Ben Roethlisberger's football and podcast. Where is the clip of Mike Tomlin ripping Andrew Berry for cutting Tyler Huntley so that he could end up in Baltimore to save their season?
Yes.
Like Flacco reemerged and via trade in Cincinnati. Because let's be real. Mike's, I appreciate what Harms is saying there, but they were out of the Snoop Huntley business.
Yes.
And if the Browns decided back in the summer that Dillon Gabriel at 5'3" is not an NFL quarterback, and they wanted to keep somebody as insurance,
or
it would have been Snoop.
Or if they don't draft two quarterbacks on the day three, and also what Kenny Pickett was on that, like they had eight quarterbacks there.
Like, so let's be real about how this went down. But that doesn't matter ultimately because he played far better than I thought he possibly could have.
Agreed. Like,
you could have told me Lamar got hurt in the offseason and Snoop's here and you've got the entire offseason to prepare for week one. Like you could tell me he had 3 months to prepare for a week one known opponent and you could have told me it's going to be a team like the Bears that's decent but not great. I would have said, no, he's not going to do this against them. He'd at least turn it over a couple times.
And by the
way,
he'd
try to do too much. He'd throw nothing but medicine ball screen passes. Somebody's going to jump one and take it to the house. Like you wouldn't have like you would have told me, no, he's going to get everybody involved in the offense, even Bateman, who hasn't done anything all year. And he's going to do it with a day where the offensive line sucked all year and Ronnie's going to be in and out of the game, right? And he's going to do it after this whole, like, mishigosh, whatever the hell was or wasn't going on with Lamar Jackson, right? And he's going to do it against a team that's won four straight and is turning people over more than anybody in the league. I'd have been like, no, that's not going to happen.
But speaking of the turnover part of it, and I thought the same thing, and don't forget, first possession, they tried a play fake misdirection bootleg, and the end didn't buy it and sacked Huntley, and he fumbled. Yeah. But he kept the ball. And as soon as that happened, I'm like, oh, here we go. But he did not turn the ball over yesterday.
They went 3-and-out on that opening drive. And then they scored on 6 of their last 7 drives with Tyler Huntley. And what makes it even more crazy is we know who he is at this point. That was his 10th start as a Raven. He had only scored, led an offense that scored 20 or more points once. And that was the Packers game that we mentioned earlier on. They scored 30 points, but big time moments, guys. Like, even when the Bears got that field goal to cut it to a 7-point game and the Ravens got the ball with around 5 minutes to go, the pass to D-Hop on third down, the back shoulder to pick up that first down. Otherwise, you kick the punt the ball back to the Bears with 3 minutes to go. And how confident is everybody in that stadium? You're thinking, here we go again. I felt like he managed the game really well. He threw the ball with anticipation. He was just a confident player. There were a couple of plays where you're like,
he threw one over the middle that it was not like.
But if it gets tipped a little differently, that's true.
But all in all, I'm with you. That was easily one of his better, if not his best, performances as a pro.
So, Jason, does that change your level of confidence in Snoop if they were, had to go to him again either Thursday or moving forward? Because it's going to be Snoop.
Oh, no, I don't think Cooper Rush is here after the trade deadline. I don't know why, I don't know why he would be. Like, how do you go back to this? Like, it's pretty clear that, like, the backup, and I was open to trying it a different way. The backup should be at least some version of Lamar, whether it's 1/100th of Lamar or 1/85th of Lamar. Like, it needs to still, like, especially given the construct of this offensive line, the guy's got to be mobile. The guy's got to be able to win with his legs and get you 2 or 3 first downs when everything breaks down with his legs. And that's just it's not going to be Cooper Rush here. So no, he's the guy behind Lamar, and it's a lot of football to be played, and they might need him again. And I don't know. I'm not 1,000% convinced it's Lamar on Thursday. Like, I'm not convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that it's him. I don't know how you could be at this point in time.
I'll be the idiot. I'm putting in Sharpie that he's playing on Thursday. I'm putting in Sharpie that Lamar Jackson's playing on Thursday.
Well, look, in that scenario where Lamar, let's say he wouldn't be able to play, I think Miami's still a good matchup for Tyler Huntley because Miami and Minnesota, for that matter, they have terrible rush defenses. So having that with Tyler Huntley, a quarterback, I think that kind of plays to him a bit more. But I also think the more games Tyler Huntley has to start, I think that's when things could go south and you get more exposed like any backup quarterback would. But hats off to him. Yesterday.
Can I say something, too? And you saw this, Bone, and if you watched it online, I felt so good for the kid. And maybe he's not a kid anymore, but
it was huge.
He's experienced not a whole lot of NFL success. And like that, you could tell how much it meant to him, like to steward this team to a win that they needed yesterday.
If the Ravens somehow make the playoffs, yesterday is an enormous.
Oh, it's a big part of the story.
Enormous.
And look, if for whatever reason he sticks with the Cleveland Browns and they play this game with Cooper Rush, they might have lost this game with Cooper Rush.
I think they do lose this game with Cooper Rush because they're not doing any of the stuff they're doing. Cooper Rush ain't running 30 yards up the middle.
No. Like, so, yeah, this is huge. And I just think look, the vibes have been janky on this team forever.
Yes.
Get Cooper Rush out of here.
I'm with you. I'm completely with you. I think it was in a six pack of mine. Dating back that I don't think that Cooper Rush is here when the dust settles on the trade deadline. Alas, this is we're feeling good here. If you're just tuning in, Inside Access, we're with you till six. Lot of positive, not only with the Ravens, but the Orioles hired themselves a manager. It's not Tony Manzolino. And people seem to like the hire. We'll get into it. Who is Craig Albernaz? We'll try to tell you next here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Some people follow the rules, but where's the fun in that? I'm Soraya, and this is Rule Breakers, the podcast where we celebrate the rebels, the misfits, and the ones who make their own way. Every week, I sit down with the biggest rule breakers in sports, entertainment, and beyond to talk about the wildest moments, toughest lessons, and why breaking the rules might just be the key to success. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.